From North State Public Radio, I'm Ava Norgrove with your headlines for Friday, November 8th. Today marks 6 years since the campfire devastated many communities in Butte County. NSPR has been interviewing those working in recovery. Today, we'll hear from Bruce Yearman with the Campfire Collaborative. Also this morning at 11:08, NSPR will be holding a moment of silence on its airwaves to honor those affected. We hope you'll consider joining us. Now let's turn to the election. Unofficial election results are rolling in, but according to the Butte County Clerk Recorder Office, official results won't be released until next month. Clerk Recorder Keaton Denley says that the county first records mail-in ballots before provisional, conditional, and same-day registration voting to avoid the possibility of someone voting twice.
We need to make sure that other ballot's not going to show up somewhere before we allow that voter what would technically be a second ballot in the election. We want to make sure we avoid that at all costs.
The Clerk Recorder Office had been counting mail-in ballots before polls closed Tuesday night. However, some ballots were postmarked on Election Day, which means they can receive them up until the following week. According to Denley, the office expects to have most of the mail-in ballots counted by this evening. After that, they will work on verifying and registering provisional voters. Denley says the votes counted so far represent 72% of the county's registered voters. Official results will be announced by December 3rd. And in other news, CAL FIRE Butte County will burn over 300 acres of scrubland in Oroville today and Saturday. The Phoenix Vegetation Management Project will burn an area south of Forbeston Road and west of Hurleton Swedes Flat Road. Smoke may be visible in Oroville and southern Butte County during the burn. CAL FIRE says the burn is part of its initiative to treat 100,000 acres of wildland each year. And a lawsuit filed by the family of a girl whose pet goat was seized and slaughtered has been settled in Shasta County. NSPR's Alex Stutson has more.
According to the Reading Record Searchlight, a Shasta County family and their young daughter listed their goat Cedar for an auction at the 2022 District Fair after raising it through the 4-H education program. Their daughter had grown to see Cedar as a family pet, and they wanted to take Cedar out of the auction, but fair officials refused. The family took the goat and fled the county, pursued by county sheriff's officials, who seized the goat and brought it to be slaughtered. The family then sued the county, the sheriff's office, and the fair. The paper reports that the lawsuit filed against the county and its sheriff's office was settled for $300,000 earlier this month. Some of that is going into a trust fund for the daughter who tried to save her goat. The suit against the district fair is still ongoing. In Chico, I'm Alex Stutson.
A Veterans Day parade will soon stroll down Solana Street in downtown Corning. The Veterans of Foreign Wars and its auxiliary are hosting the annual event on Monday, November 11th. The parade will start at 11 in the morning and will end at noon. The route ends at the Tehama County Veterans Hall, where a lunch event will be held until 2. Residents are encouraged to bring their own flags. And finally, the campfire first sparked 6 years ago today. It became the deadliest wildfire in California history, devastating the towns of Paradise, Butte Creek Canyon, Concow, and Magalia. Bruce Yearman is the director of the Campfire Collaborative, an organization which has been working towards recovery. NSPR's Ken Duvall spoke with him about how the collaborative aims to address unmet needs.
Unmet needs are defined as after they've done everything possible and looked in every nook and cranny, the only way that they can recover and meet their plan is with just a little bit of help. And that's where we come in. Now, we're at the center of 100 partners, each with a slightly different mission, but where they come together is where we are, and we connect those people to the services that can get them housing.
What have you seen that's changed since the fire?
Anybody who drives up there can see major changes and a lot of progress. I mean, I was thinking back to 6 years ago, and you know, the one word that just keeps coming to my mind is bewilderment. And we've moved well beyond bewilderment as a community. There are plans, there's progress, there's paving, there's rebuilding, there's new families coming in. It takes me back to when my parents moved to Paradise many, many years ago, and I was a small child. And with the same idea, this is where we want to raise a family. So the air is clean, you know, and the roads are looking good. And there's new housing and housing possibilities where they might not exist in other places. Now, having said that, I do think there are some folks that are still bewildered a bit. And we're finding those weekly that are reaching out for services for the first time. This is a marathon recovery.
How's the commercial sector doing? I know that, you know, you have to have those things. You have to have groceries and all those things that make a community viable.
Yeah, and, you know, that question feels a little bit like a chicken and egg question. You know, do you bring in the businesses and before there's enough population to support them, or do you bring in, you know, the population to bring in the businesses? Of course, we would like to see more, but I feel that it's coming because the housing is returning, and it's returning in a significant way.
And what would you describe as the most pressing challenges at this point?
The most pressing challenge at this point continues to be housing, and I don't think that's changed from the beginning. And I think that it's a pressing challenge depending on who you are. There's still many survivors who are, you know, in quotations, camping on their property because that's where they want to live. We've also seen some challenges, you know, related with other disasters. There's a handful of people that we're working with that were displaced by the park fire who had also been displaced previously by the camp fire. And we've brought them back in under the camp fire recovery because it's really the same story that's been extended. But what I've seen in this community, the larger community, and I mean all of Butte County when I say that, is we're pretty good at communicating and working together amongst agencies through these disasters. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that somebody is not in a trying situation, but things are moving a lot faster now.
What would you like people from outside the area to know?
There have been over 200 studies, if you look up, you know, Google Scholar, on the campfire. And this has been a well-studied disaster. But what I don't think the outside community realizes, and what I've talked about before, is just how cutting edge this area is in terms of recovering from disaster. Lessons learned are being applied. And they're being applied that will make a difference for all kinds of disasters. One quick example is one of the case management agencies that works with the Campfire Collaborative, Northern Valley Catholic Social Services. It's just been phenomenal in terms of case management. They are now being flown out to the hurricane in North Carolina, Helene. To help set up case management out there. Because as I say, you know, people here have a PhD through experience. We love our community. We are grateful to the greater community. There's no way we could be where we are without the support of people in all of Butte County and the patience of people in all of Butte County. And I feel that our community is connected like it's never been before.
That was the Campfire Collaborative Director, Bruce Yearman, speaking with NSPR's Ken Duvall. NSPR also spoke with other survivors of the campfire and those working in recovery. We'll be airing those conversations in Morning Edition next week. And those are your headlines for Friday, November 8th. Our theme song is Burrow and courtesy of Blue Dot Sessions. For more local and state news, head to our website, mynspr.org. For NSPR News, I'm Ava Noor Grove.